Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
That was sweet and funny and educational and engaging and just perfect. So thank you. Thank you so much.
See, we don't just do talking about and that. We can do other stuff.
Can tell you on that. That's the brand. That's what brand.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Dave Berry's Dad Pod, the place where we have been celebrating parenthood and gathering invaluable dad advice from some very special guests. And we've been doing that for over 2 years now. But what is pretty evident to me is that I still need to know so, so much more. And that's why for this episode, I've enlisted the help of not one, but two very special guests. I am delighted to be joined by my very first parenting couple on the Dad Pod. They're Britain's most beloved pair of podcasters. They are authors, comedians, TV presenters, and amongst all of that, they are parents to sons Robin and Rafe. It's Chris and Rosie Ramsey. Hello, Chris. Hello, Rosie.
Yeah, when we had Rafe, I did change my name from Chris to Criff just to fit in, just because I'm the only one without a R, so that's the closest I could do.
Criff, I apologise profusely. It is great having you both on the podcast. Let's start by talking about yours. Shagged, Married, Annoyed is going on a huge live arena tour.
Yeah.
Is this one of those kind of stories you hear where two people, a loving couple, start a silly little podcast at their kitchen table? Next thing you know, bang, they're headlining at the O2.
That's it. Yeah, you've summed it up perfectly.
Actually, we might steal that off you, Dave, because no one's put it there.
Yeah, we'll put that on the poster. Yeah, that's absolutely it. Like, we did the podcast. We've got a little sort of room dedicated to the podcast now, which doubles up as Rosie's office. Little cupboard, and a little cupboard under the stairs. But yeah, I mean, for the first easily 100, well, not yeah, maybe 100, for the first 100 episodes, we did it at our kitchen table. And I'm talking like, I genuinely think we're some of the only podcasters in the country who, while they're doing it, they're kicking around bits of broccoli from the night before that are on the floor that their son's dropped, and
dried
peas
rice.
And yeah, dried rice and bits of sweet corn. Like, it's very lo-fi.
Yeah. I mean, you make us sound like we live in an absolute pigsty.
Well, I mean, you know, the Hoover could be run around a few more times than often, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, me as well. I'm talking about me as well there.
Tickets are on sale now. Shaggedmarriedannoyed.com is where you can get them. How are we playing this one? Is it a case of bringing the boys along with you, or is it a case of, my goodness, we're going to spend some time in a hotel on our own?
Yeah,
a bit of both.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm one of those people where I go, oh, I can't wait to get away. Oh, gosh, I'm just sick. But then I'll be sat in a hotel crying because I miss them. So I think we've worked it out really well, actually. We've only got maybe a night, two nights, and then we're back for three nights, and then we're away again.
Yeah, it's so worked out quite well.
I think we might leave them at home.
Yeah. Well, Rosie's perfect idea of childcare is me watching both kids, but her being in the room with her, but doing nothing. Like, that's Rosie's perfect idea of childcare. Me in the room doing all of the jobs and things and entertaining them, and she's just sitting in the corner, totally detached from them, but still there. So that's her perfect thing. So there's sadly no way of doing that long distance. So yeah, we'll see. I've got a funny feeling we'll take them like a couple of the dates right at the beginning and go, f*** this.
Yeah, I've got a feeling we'll do that as well.
It's strange because before I became a parent, I used to talk to, you know, touring comedians and other people and musicians and bands about going on the road. And I always just presumed, a lazy presumption, that obviously you would want that time on your own. But as soon as we had little Evie, when I've had to spend any time away from her, I miss her instantly. It's awful. And I think it's going to be, I'm going to hire a movie in the hotel room. I'm going to get that mini bar open. This is going to be bliss. But then my wife and I, all we do is end up just looking through pictures of her anyway.
We're the same. Do you remember when we went to New York? Robin, our firstborn, he was 2 and a half, and me and Chris, we thought we were balling. We went to New York to watch the UFC, didn't we?
I dragged her along to watch UFC.
The flight there was great. The first day was great. And then for the next 3 days, I was miserable.
Yeah.
I was miserable as sin. Yeah. And I was just like, why am I? I'm in New York. Robin's fine.
We're FaceTiming him.
And
that was the problem.
I broke.
Yeah, we FaceTimed him and he cried. And then you were a mess. I was all right. Because now, honestly,
you were fine.
Well,
actually,
the thing is, Dave, when you were saying there that you're like, you know, you miss her as soon as you go away. I had to get used to it really quick. When Robin was 10 days old, I went back on tour.
Oh, okay.
Literally 10 days old, and Rosie had a C-section. But I had this, it was me DVD came out.
He wasn't planned, that's why.
He wasn't planned, and he dropped into the middle of like just this crazy year. And I was only one of us working at the time. So I just had to go. And the first couple of days were horrible. But then you quickly realise that the other person is up all night at home and feeding the kid and sitting there with the kid non-stop. And I mean, I used to take my PlayStation on tour. So I was...
Did you at least do the decent thing of lying to Rosie and pretending that it was all bad where you are, or did you just say, I've got my PlayStation, Pet, speak to you later on?
Well, I used to say terrible, thinking back, I used to say really stupid things like, oh, I overslept, I feel terrible. Like,
stuff like honestly, it was awful. Do you not remember you used to ring me? I'd wait for your phone call, but it would be midday.
Yeah.
I'd just got up and I'd be like, you.
Oh, gosh, you can't do that, man. Oh, no.
I've learned now. And I've obviously with Rafe and with this whole, you know, the fact that I haven't been able to tour for the past year, and Rafe's come along and he's 4 months old now, but like being at home and being here all the time and seeing what you went through with that. I mean, I apologize on a daily basis. Let's be honest here.
Yeah,
I constantly say, like, I'll be sitting with Rafe in the middle of the night feeding him and I'm like, Rosie, I'm so sorry. I went on tour when Robin was little. I can't believe you did this on your own. I'm so proud of you.
Ironically, waking her up, which is...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you love that. You love that.
I touched your leg the other night. I'll
do the nighttime feeds, but I'll ask you every time I feed him exactly how much I'm giving him and, you know, what I'll need to do.
The other night, I didn't know the snuffle bum. He's got a stuffy nose, and I didn't know if you could put snuffle bum on their chest like Vicks, or if you had to put it on their feet as like an old wives' tale, or if you had to just put it on a tissue and put it in his collar, something like that. So Rosie's leg was hanging out of the quilt, and I touched her leg from the bottom of the bed in the middle of the night, and she jumped out of her skin. She literally went, don't do that, don't touch my leg. Do I put the snuffle bum on his chest? That's all I want to know. Go back to sleep.
Snuffle bum?
Yeah.
Snuffle bum? So due to popular demand, you've even added some extra dates onto the tour. And as I say, you can get your tickets for that, shagmarriedannoyed.com. There's a thing about this which I really like, which is people taking comfort in your podcast about, you know, not only you two kind of having your gripes with one another, clearly whilst being, you know, very much in love, but also talking about the realities of children and raising children and being parents in the modern world. How does it feel to provide that as a service for people?
It's nice. It is,
but at the beginning of our book, didn't we say this is not a guide to parenting or relationships? If you're following advice out in this book, you need to start again, kind of thing.
But I like that it's comforting to people. We've had a lot of people say that they can hear themselves, their relationship and our relationship. And it's just breaking down the sort of like, we've grown up thinking that marriages are meant to be perfect. And this whole social media world of, if you're not, you know, celebrating your relationship every single day and in completely in love, that you've got something wrong, and that's not the point.
Yeah.
You know, your marriage grows, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's a thing in it of your parents. If your parents have done their job correctly, they've made it look to you as a child like their marriage is perfect. And then obviously Instagram is and all of that, you know, people doing bloody, you know, full table spreads for pancake day and that, like, what you're doing, like, and they make everything, do you know what I mean? They make everything look out there, everything looks
down
perfect.
On the illusion of perfection.
Yeah, it's like, oh God, Valentine's Day, look, a room of roses, oh, so we cut through that BS in a way and just go, look, we're married, we're in love, we've got a family, we'll work together, it's going well. But, you know, there are
days,
you know,
we don't want to look at each other.
Yeah, there are numerous times the podcast has had to be postponed because we've had a row. Like, this is life. The second one or the third one, wasn't it? It's called Take Two, because we recorded the full podcast. It was the second or third episode ever. Recorded the full thing. through gritted teeth like that, and we just did it. Wow. And then we went, we'll have to do that again, because it was like a it was a passive aggressive special, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just a really angry listen for everyone. Yeah, for all you.
We didn't even listen back. We just went, we weren't feeling that, and we recorded it again the next day. Okay. We had to phone my producer and really embarrassingly go, so we had a row, so we're going to do it again tomorrow.
Again, here to flag it up. The reason we had that row, Chris, is because you didn't want to do the podcast.
Mm.
Chris was dead against doing the podcast.
Dead against the podcast.
What, the full concept of the podcast or that particular episode? Right.
Yeah.
Why were you against it, Chris?
Just didn't see the point.
You never listened to one. You didn't know what they were.
All I'd listened to, was Ricky Gervais, Carl Pilton, Stephen Merchant ones, all them years ago, where they were actually audio books, and because they became paid, you had to pay for them. They were the only ones I'd ever listened to. And I knew WTF Pod was a thing, and I knew Joe Rogan was a thing, but I was like, podcasting, what's all this newfangled stuff, man? I'm telly. I'm Chris Ramsey, man. I'm bloody telly. And then this happens to be the most successful thing I've ever done by a country mile.
Yeah. Well, again, though, for the poster, if you're looking for quotes, I didn't see the point. Yes, Ramsey underneath.
But the reason we actually had that row was I still don't know how to use the software that we record the podcast on.
So Rosie, are you the tech brains behind?
Neither of us are. I don't know how we've got this far, Dave. I really don't.
Every podcast we record has the trailer for the podcast on the beginning of it. Because if I get rid of that, all the settings reset. And it goes back to like one mic and stuff, and then we'll come through one ear each. So every single one we do has the trailer on the beginning.
We cobble it together. It's embarrassing how cobbled together.
Well, the other week we just finished doing it, and I lost the full episode.
Yeah.
oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I was like, it's because I
don't.
I cobble together. I'm not tech savvy. The idea of losing all the work is.
Well, it went right, and then it was weird because it was like episode 112 or something like that. It was a couple of weeks ago, and Rosie went, "Oh, for God's sake, we can't go on like this. You don't even know how to use it. It's disgraceful." And I went, "To be fair, this is the only time I've lost it in 100-odd episodes." And she went, fair enough. Yeah, so we just continued winging it. After every single section, I export the file now and save it separately. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
No, I am exactly the same.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
Listen, obviously, Rafe is blissfully unaware at this stage of his little life, bless his cotton socks. And Robin is still very young. But I wondered if he started to cotton on to how central himself and his brother are to this hugely successful podcast. Are you fearing that he's going to knock on the door and ask for his cut of the world's biggest podcast tour? You know, are we getting to that point? Is he aware that, obviously you would govern this as parents. Of course you would. But are you feeling that there's going to be a point where he's like, please don't mention that on the podcast, Mum and Dad?
We talked about this before, haven't we? Mm. We try to be really conscious of what we're saying. And I think they're still both young enough.
The baby's crying right now.
He's probably heard that we're talking about
him. Well, her mum's with him. I'm not just shutting the door.
Oh, no, my mum's here.
Well, that's that sorted. Don't worry about that. It's done.
The baby's crying. I'll just push him further into the garden. Like, her mum's got him.
Trying to do a podcast here. Keep it down.
Do you want any food, Rafe? Shut up. The older they get, the more aware that we're going to have to become. But growing up, my dad was like the most embarrassing dad in the world.
Yeah.
And I just kind of think, I've survived.
Yeah, but it wasn't on an international scale, though, was it?
That is very true. Just kind of.
He wasn't live at the O2.
I think the minute, we've always said, especially with Instagram and stuff, Rosie's always said that the minute he goes, I don't want to be on there, he's gone. As soon as they go,
He loves it.
Oh, he's a proper performer.
He absolutely loves it.
So funny. Mm-hmm.
He asks to do video. We make videos together, me and Robin, and I've got to edit them together. And it's just me getting into bed, pretending to yawn, and then I've got to go to another room. And he's like, it's very strange. But I don't know. We'll play it by ear. and we'll just see. Who knows?
Robin's, yeah, he's a born performer. We'll see. We'll both be very surprised if he doesn't end up doing something along these lines. He already says he wants to be a comedian. Doesn't really understand what a comedian is, but he wants to be a comedian. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I asked this of kind of all my guests about the idea of the dad joke, but we kind of turn that around and do your kids make you laugh? And obviously what's really nice is you're both very funny people, but what I particularly love about your podcast is the fact you make one another laugh, and that's always really nice to hear, I think. You know, I take something from that. So you've mentioned Robin there, he's a natural born performer. What is his style of humour? I know he doesn't understand what being a comic is, but you know, in your expert opinion, where is he going? Is he surrealist? Is he satirical? You know, what's he like?
I mean, I've been asked to write some Edinburgh blurbs quite far in advance, but are you asking me to write my son's Edinburgh blurb his first Edinburgh festival?
He's saying, is he going to be on Celebrity Juice, or have I got news for you?
Yeah, is he going to be QI? QI or Celebrity Juice.
I think he's very like sketch show. We should know this really.
He's kind of like
physical humor.
Yeah, he's a clown. Right? He's a class clown. Mm-hmm. He'll joke around. If he's trying to make a baby laugh, he's all over the place, jumping around and being silly and just silliness, to be fair. But he's also he can be quite sarky and quick witted. So mm-hmm. The other day, I just finished. I eat quite fast, and it always ends up quite a lot of wind. And I had a curry the other night, and I was sort of. Best way, I can't really describe this. If you know us, you'll understand, but I was loading up a burp. So I go like, then I load it up, and I get the burp going. That was a fake one. I wouldn't do it live on here, but went like that. And as I'm starting to burp, Robin asked us a question. He went, Daddy, come and play hide and seek. And I went, and I had to finish a burp before I could speak. So he went, Daddy, come and play hide and seek. And I went, and he went, is that a yes? I was like, where have you got that from? So quick. He didn't miss a beat. And if he watches something on the telly that's like funny, like if it's like a really well-timed bit of humour on a TV show, he'll rewind it and he'll go, watch this. Watch how funny this is. And he makes you watch it again. He knows mm-hmm. timing. Mm-hmm. He
does. Okay, so his comedy time is impeccable. Okay, that's good to know. Rosie, listeners to Shag, Married, Annoyed will know that your mum is a bit of a character. The last episode I enjoyed, which I was in bits in my kitchen, where she brought home a little gift in the bottom of the buggy that she found on one of her walks, a country stay away. Would you like to, because I don't want to steal your stuff, would you mind telling everybody what that little gift in the bottom of the child's buggy was, please?
It was a deer head. a deceased deer head with teeth and all. Yeah. Absolutely antlers. Disgusting.
The lot. Like, the lot.
She's got issues.
Vile. Like, or, like, completely stripped to the bone. Looked like, you know, the All Saints logo.
awful.
And no word of a lie, I forgot to tell you this.
Yeah.
No word of a lie, I'm playing on the new Resident Evil Village game. I picked one up on the game the other day.
Did you?
It's identical to the one. And I picked it up, and I was like, oh my God, on a horror game, I have just had to collect the same thing that your mom brought home in the buggy.
As like, a gamer, I'm becoming my mother-in-law. That's something that no one should ever have to say, Chris. Wow. May I ask, has it been disposed of, or is it hanging above the fireplace?
It's in the utility room.
It's in the utility room, yeah.
I'm desperate to put it in our bed, but we're worried that it'll stab her. What they're called, the antlers? Antlers are really spiky, and we really need her for childcare.
Yeah, we'd put it in our bed for a laugh, but she's kind of like Rosie, like slapdash, just runs around the house like she's got a million things to do, and she'll just climb into bed and it'll go through her spleen or something.
we haven't got time for the hospital visits. Yeah.
I understand.
Been a really stressful year, so I'm just going to leave it.
So kind of deer skulls aside, were there any parenting lessons that you took from your mum? I mean, as I say, we always like to talk about our guest parents as well, and if they were able to take anything from them, and, you know, not putting too much pressure on yourself is often a key theme here on the Dad Pod. Was there anything like that, Rosie?
I parent exactly like my mum did, to be honest. And she was so strict when we grew up, but I think it was good in a way. We're exactly the same, aren't we? Yeah. I'm just trying to think whether... No, I do exactly like her. But this is one sad thing that I've noticed. If my mum compliments us on my parenting skills, I get really chuffed with myself.
Oh, that's nice.
Is that a thing?
That's lovely.
Pathetic. No, mum, she said, was it last week? She said, mm-hmm. She was like, oh, you're lovely with them boys. And I was like...
I can't get on board with that. It's not an achievement. You're lovely with your own kids. Oh, well done. Congratulations. You're supposed to be.
You got some people on, so I was just...
In my mind, what you're conjuring for me is that if my father turned to me and said, you know what, son, you have become a great dad. And in my mind, I'm going, you've never hugged me. You've never told me you love me. And now this is our moment. So for me, you're giving me like the end of Ratatouille here, Rosie. I'm like, really
going
back.
There you go. No,
it's raw.
I was really happy with that. But then on the other hand, she'll micromanage everything I do. So, it's a...
And we did a section in the book, didn't we, about your mum's rose-tinted glasses.
Oh, she's got the biggest rose-tinted glasses ever. Like, ever. My mum, the memory she's got of our childhood is that she played with us every day. We went on long walks in the countryside. I'm like, no, that didn't happen. You sat me in front of the telly watching Care Bears with a bowl of chips. Like, I know... My dad's told us. I know that this happened. So stop making things up.
Oh, I love it. Chris, let me ask you about your dad. Obviously, you're a very popular stand-up comedian, and it seems your dad's quite a funny guy as well. When you went into A&E in your wheelchair, he was singing Never Gonna Dance Again, I believe. So, not very funny for you at the time, I'm sure, Chris. But is he a funny guy, and has he influenced you? Like you were talking about Robin, being a funny. Is there a generational thing happening here before your very eyes?
I mean, I think more with my dad, not even about being funny. I think more about he kind of accidentally instilled in us the idea of making people laugh being like an achievement. Like
I was going to say, tell him about New Year's Eve.
Every New Year's Eve, he does a Tommy Cooper impression. But in my opinion, that's not funny. That's just the worst. I mean, I'm not slagging off Tommy Cooper. Tommy Cooper's brilliant, but every daft old codger can do a Tommy Cooper impression.
No, but his mates love it. Like,
his mates love it, but that's what I mean about, whereas I don't find that funny. And maybe growing up, I didn't find my dad the funniest, but it was the idea that he could hold court and that he could make people laugh and every social interaction. It wasn't until I became a comedian I started thinking about back in my life, in my head, every social interaction, I have to get a laugh. Like, you've got to get one. And like, it was always like a little tick in my day's column of like, well done. If it's school, if going to someone's house, if standing talking to people, if I got a laugh within the interaction, it was like, tick, you got a laugh. And I didn't realize that was something I actively chased every single day until I look back on it. Do you know what I mean?
You do that?
Yeah.
You only just realized that.
Everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Is there a satisfactory amount of ticks that a comedian like yourself will get each day? Is it just one and it's always remained? If I get the one, I'm happy with that.
To put is just let them free flow. To put the cap on it, you're gonna restrain it.
Of course.
Many as you want. Naturally. All day, crazy, non-stop laughter. No, it's like...
We've not got that many social interactions. It's definitely not at the minute.
It's hard to explain it. It's just like it was always, the social interaction, be it popping into the shop, be it, stopping and talking to someone in the corridor at school or whatever. If a laugh wasn't achieved, the social interaction was a failure. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, but there's the other side of that coin, I suppose, the way in which you're saying that, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but it's like, I have this thing that I got from my dad where I want to get that laugh. But the other side of that is spreading joy. You're spreading joy to other people. I want to spread as much joy and get as many laughs as I can from people as possible.
I might be too soft. It was more of a selfish
thing. I've got to live with him after this. He's going to be like, look, the joy spreader. Here I am. Shut up.
Joy to
another quote for the poster. All he wants to do is spread joy.
Nah, people are going to take that and make it filthy. I know they are. It's that thing of like, I remember like my dad would hold court in the pub or at a family party or whatever, and he would stand and he would talk to people if he was telling a joke or, he was always, if he was bantering with his mates or whatever. And then I remember seeing stand up for the first time and seeing like somewhat like Billy Connolly, I think was the first one I saw.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was like,
what a great place to start.
It was like, this guy's job is to stand on a stage and make a room full of people laugh. And it was like, and even to when I first started stand-up and I started watching people, it was someone I'd never seen. It was always this excitement of like, what are they going to say now to like hold court? And just this idea of, I think it's more of a show-off thing. Like, look at me.
No, it's, yeah, a, no, it's a performance. You see, I always find it strange. Chris never did any acting or anything when he was younger, so he never did the school plays or stuff like that.
I did a couple of school plays, I wasn't in the drama club or anything.
Took it up on the side or anything like that. And then one day you left uni and just decided to become a comedian. And I always find that astonishing that you just went into it. You know, most people have had to, you know, work on their craft for over years.
But if you think about it, I'd been practicing comedy, doing stand-up my entire life, in conversations.
With your mate.
Yeah.
Spreading
joy, you know, just such a great guy. and then it just, all that happened was the conversation became bigger and more one-sided, which I also enjoy.
And there we get to the root of it all.
Yeah. That's it.
not for you, Chris. I just mean stand-up comedians.
for all of us.
Listen, let me ask you your best piece of parent advice. It's kind of a regular section on the Dad Pod. And, you know, you can work together on this one or independently. And I know it's a massive sweeping statement. It's a huge question to ask. But is there one thing that stands out for you as something you would pass on to people who are listening to this now who are parents or maybe becoming parents or something they're thinking about doing?
What do you think?
Really good.
I've got something that springs to mind, but I don't know whether
I don't know how deep you're supposed to go on this. I don't, you know.
Well, we go pretty deep, Chris.
Okay.
We do, you know.
That's what she says.
Yeah. Another postcard quote.
So I would say a good parent advice is that your children are still going to love you even if you tell them off.
Oh, that's quite a good one.
That took Chris a long time to come.
I'm very needy.
You've gone a bit the other way now, actually, where I'm like, if you keep telling him off, he's going to hate you. But for a long time, you struggled telling Robin off because you wanted to be his mate. You wanted to just, you were like, oh, but if I shouted at him, and I was like, no, he needs to be shouted at. He needs to be told right from wrong. And he's still going to love you. And actually, they love you more, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fantastic piece of parent advice. I genuinely think that really is, because I'm kind of, I suppose, in Chris's camp in that respect. You don't really want to, you want to be your kid's mate, don't you? But I suppose the other side of that is you're probably, I'd like to think, only telling them off for the right reasons.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, oh, should I tell Evie if she touches that? It's hot. Yeah, I probably should, actually. Yeah, I mean, it's like the major.
But she'll not like me, but she'll have no hand left in. Yeah. So you've got it.
I've got two bits. One's a bit knockabout. One's just general knockabout advice, and one's a little bit deeper. Right?
Okay.
The knockabout bit of advice is always have baby wipes with you everywhere, even in your car.
Preach.
Yeah.
Baby wipes, always. Have some in your car. Have a pack in the glove box. Have a pack in the boot.
Yeah.
They get it.
When
we get
down to our last six packets, I start to have a breakdown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
More
yeah.
wipes on the shop. Yeah. You know,
like I have them piled up. You know when you see like an old 90s movie and they've got big sort of bags of drugs and they're piled up in them bricks? That's what our cupboard's like, but it's baby wipes. But I throw them around in the
pure.
Same way. Yeah, yeah, like that, yeah. Yeah, they're good, yeah. Knocking them together. It's been a good week.
Okay, that's good. Baby wipes.
Someone told us, I don't know where the quote's from, but someone told me, and I never play it off as my own, I always say someone told me it, and it's to do with really enjoying every single moment of being a parent. And the quote is, it's the most on-the-nose thing I've ever heard about parenting. And obviously the last year being locked in houses with your children, it's even more sort of, it's even more meaningful. The quote is, the days are long, but the years are short.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I've got chills, actually. That's so true.
And it's not my quote. Someone told me, I don't know where it's from, but it's absolutely true. You sit sometimes and you're looking at the clock and you're going, right, 5 o'clock, right, I've got 2 hours to kill until bedtime, and I can get them into bed. And then that 2 hours just drag so much, but then them days take forever, but them years just rattle past in the blink of an eye, and just try and stop and enjoy them.
Yeah, I mean, that's such good parenting advice. I mean, you must look at kind of Rafe and just think, I can't believe Robin was once this size. It must seem like such a distant memory, because it's gone like that, hasn't it? You know, those years of...
It takes having another child to realise how quickly it's all gone. And now I don't know if we plan on having any more. I don't think we do. We'll see. But I'm kind of, I don't want Rafe to get any bigger. Whereas with Robin, I just kind of
wished
his life away. And I was like, I can't wait until he's walking, and I can't wait until this, and I can't wait. And now with Rafe, I'm like, no, you can stay like this forever. Just you can stay. Yeah. It's lovely.
It's weird because I know all of the things we went through with Robin, like the starting to talk and then starting to crawl and then starting to walk. And I know we've got them all coming with Rafe, and I am looking forward to them. But like you say, I'm like, that'll soon, but for now, just stay lying on your back.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing about babies. Until they can roll over, it is the easiest thing in the world. You can put them on the top of the stairs on the back and go, where are you going? Nowhere. I'm the boss. You're staying there. I'm going to brush my teeth.
Don't put them at the top of the stairs. Are you putting them at the top of the stairs?
Now and then. No, I'm feeling a bit dangerous. I'm joking.
That's really fantastic parent advice from both of you. Now, this is something I ask of my guests. Your kids hear this podcast back in 15 years from now. What would you like to say to them?
Don't listen to Shad Married Annoyed. You can listen to this one, but don't listen to the other one we do.
And we're sorry.
And finally, there is an old saying about you can't pick your favourite child. Yes or no, do you have a favourite child? Don't have to name them.
No, not yet.
I didn't.
Of course not.
Yeah.
No.
Not at this point in time, because I'm not with them. But when I'm with them, whichever one is annoying as the least is my favourite at the moment.
Okay.
But I always thought, I bet you must have a favourite. You must have a favourite. And they're absolutely on level pegging with me. I remember asking someone, I said, it was Charlie Condu. I did a TV show with Charlie Condu, a mate of mine. And I said, he had two kids now, and I didn't even have Robin at the time when he told us. And I was like, what's it like when you have two? I was like, how can you love them the same? And he was like, your heart just doubles. He's like, the minute your second kid is born, your heart just doubles, and it's the same for both. And I thought, all right, whatever. And then I was like, I'm sure I text him. I was like, you all right? He's like, what? I was like, so 5 years ago, you told us a bit of a lie.
During an ad break.
Who's this? New number, who's this?
Well, let's leave it there, because that's just beautiful. Rosie, Chris, great spending some time in your company. Shagged, Married, Annoyed is the nation's favourite podcast, and good luck with the tour.
Thank you. Good luck
with everything going forward, and send my love to the boys, won't you? And thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us, man.
Chris and Rosie will be taking their podcast, Shagged, Married, Annoyed, on tour across the country from September right up until the end of the year. Tickets are on sale at shaggedmarriedannoyed.com. Don't miss out. So, from one incredible set of guests to another. Because next time, here on Dave Berry's Dad Pod, I'll be chatting to arguably Britain's greatest ever athlete. An Olympic hero, a real-life knight, and a father of four, Sir Mo Farah. See you then.
You know, Up to 80s is my favourite radio station in the whole world.
Is it really?
It's on everywhere.
Yeah. I
appreciate that. When I found out there was a dedicated 80s radio station, I nearly cried. I was so happy. And I've listened to it non-stop since I came. Oh, God, I love it, don't I? It's all I listen to.